is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box. I'm not a Krusty Krab.
Ah, man, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock Lunchbox. And I look terrible. I'm sorry. Let me just apologize for my appearance right now. It has been much of a morning. It has been at least two mornings. My morning has been so long, there is at least an evening in it. Thank you. I don't know why my hair looks like this. It doesn't have any more poof. I know this doesn't mean anything to anybody on radio, but for me, personally, there's no more poof here. And my hair is not thinning, it's just disgusting. That's the word I'm looking for. Oh, that's much better. Now I look like a unicorn. Hang on, let me just see if I can fix any and all of that. I think it comes from too many years of wearing hats. I gotta get a haircut. I gotta get a gun. Gotta get a haircut. I know I talked about that a few episodes ago, but it's true. Nothing has changed. How's everybody doing? It's a brand new year. Welcome to 2022. Yeah, we made it. Honestly, I think me and Nostradamus and a lot of other people in the know weren't necessarily sure that we would make it this far, but yet here we are, 2022. It is starting horrendously, I think, in the world. It's just unbelievable what's going on in the world, but let's do some light housekeeping first, shall we? From the head office at Hard Rock Lunchbox Incorporated. There is a brand new top 20 out today, but it is the top 20 that is the intro for the top 21 of 2021. So it's a shorter one. It's more like top 10, but I go over a lot. So you used to be able to roll over your minutes. Like, do I sound like an old guy doing that? Back in my day, you used to be able to roll over your minutes, so I'm going to roll over my top 20 minutes so that it seems like I was doing a full top 20, but it really wasn't. But we did, we raised, and by we, I mean me and you guys, we raised some good points about stupidity in America, and I am here to report that 2022 has changed nothing about that. Yeah, no, people are still stupid. It's amazing how stupid people are. And what I find most interesting, and this is not new to this year, this has been going on for a little while, but what I'm finding the most interesting about stupid people is that now they're being extra uppity about things and justifying their stupidity and even trying to, like use logic to justify their stupidity, but they're using stupid logic. And when you use stupid logic to justify your stupidity, you get even more stupidity. Yeah. Kind of a thing. If these people knew anything about intelligence or going to school or education, they would know that the distributive property of mathematics also applies to stupidity. So if you're going to apply something to stupidity, it's going to be that times stupidity. There was an article out. Oh, wait. No, I'm going to get the light housekeeping. So, yes, people are getting dumber in America, despite what Robbie from Va Va Voom thinks. They are getting dumber. And worse, they're getting more brazen about their stupidity. I think that's the word I'm looking for. There was a good time when stupid people knew they were dumb and they would just shut up in pleasant and smarter company. And now they're just speaking as if they're somehow smarter. They're not. There's just more of them, and they are forming what we used to call is a mob of stupidity. And yeah, you know, in the futuristic world, we're going to need more locks. So I guess I see who's applying for that job. But anyway, So that's this week's top 20. I recommend it. It's a quick view, and you can always give it a like. And don't forget to give the page a subscribe. Other stuff going on Strangerhood TV. Let's talk about it for a minute. Even though I'm going to talk about it probably in the opening segment here in the actual top 20 proper, the BIMPY Awards, the 2021 BIMPY Awards, are out on Bacon Is My Podcast, also available on Strangerhood TV. I strongly urge you to check that out for a couple reasons, and both of those reasons are because I'm on it twice. Yeah. But also, you can see a lot of good performances. You can see a pitiful, placating acceptance speech from our own Annie Stoic of Jackknife Stiletto. We're going to break that down also in a little while. Probably not. I don't know. I laughed really hard when I saw her acceptance speech. It's definitely worth watching. But we'll talk about all that. And what else is going on? They have 7 questions with Youth in Revolt. That came out last night. Right? Wednesday night? Today's Thursday, right? Like, I'm supposed to be here? Yeah, okay, cool. One of these days, I'm just going to start broadcasting on a Wednesday or Friday, and it's going to be awfully quiet in here. And that's going to be sad. Also, in show news, our show is still going forward January 29th at Barnum Ballroom in Island Park. It's formerly The Hub. If you've ever seen us play there, we usually play there once a year. It's Kaz's home bar, so we always used to do his birthday show in April there. We are doing a show in January. It was actually the first show we booked in the post-COVID era because we thought, foolishly, that January 29th would be far enough away and everything would be better by then. But in true Rebel 9 fashion, we could not be more wrong. And as it turns out, one of the original bands booked on the show. This is not one of my shows, so I don't want to hear any critiquing whatsoever of the bands that were selected or the venue or how it was going on. We just agreed to play a show for Dave Black Promotions, Productions and stuff like that. This is not my show. So, but one of the middle bands, Black Rose Rebellion, I think is the name of it, dropped off because apparently the entire band has COVID. And I much prefer them dropping off than actually playing. And that's kind of what that's about. But Dave asked me if I knew anyone that could jump on, and All New Episode decided that they were available to jump on, so it's going to be really good. It's been a long time since we played with All New Episode at The Hub, but I do think both of our last times at The Hub were together, and we always have a really good time with that band, so I'm psyched to have them on. And that'll be good. That'll be fun. That will be great. Now, again, that's Barnum Ballroom, January 29th. I believe that's a Saturday, so it's going to be 2 weeks from this Saturday. It's our first scheduled show of 2022. We have another one coming up in March. I'll give you details on that after this Barnum Ballroom show. And that's going to be a banger as well. We're going to try and space out the local shows so it's not to burn anybody out. And also to kind of keep just social gathering a minimum in the colder months because, as if you're watching any news anywhere, you'll see that the Omicron variant is so spreadable and so transmissible that really you're kind of just going to have to get it at this point. I feel like I'm playing an incredibly difficult game of whack-a-mole trying to avoid it from my very limited exposure points, by the way. But as we head further and further along, my exposure points are, of course, going to increase, as are those of my family and as are those of my existing exposure points. So it seems like Omicron's going to be kind of inevitable, which definitely sucks. I am happy to say, though, that all the news out of South Africa and out of Europe and, of course, out of the CDC is that it is a much milder form of COVID, which is fantastic. However, it is still a really dangerous form of COVID, and people are being hospitalized for it. They doubled the national average of children being hospitalized last week, which is something I would be concerned about if I were a parent. And I am a parent. Look at that. They just had I think she's a district attorney in Orange County, Pennsylvania, staunch anti-vax and anti-mask mandate. She just died of COVID. She was like 40-something years old, totally didn't need to die from this, and decided she was going to die anyway. So there's that. I guess if you're not going to believe in it, that's one way to prove that you're wrong. Seems stupid to me, but that's another show. Yeah, it seems super highly dangerous. It is recommended to be vaccinated. It's recommended to be boosted. It is not 100% barrier from getting this thing, but what all these statistics and data and research and CDC reports are showing is that it's just a much smarter way to go into a dangerous situation. I mean, I don't understand why people keep offering up like, well, see, vaccinated people get it too, so I guess I'm just not going to get vaccinated. Like, That's not how this works. And, like, I've been meaning to actually do some actual research, not Google, like, actual research, like, read actual reports, because stuff like measles and chickenpox, even though there's vaccines for them, they aren't 100% complete either, because there's always variance in the data and there's always variance in people's bio-individuality. And I think people don't understand how vaccines work. Like, it's not a complete wall. It's not a complete barrier. Like, polio and smallpox and stuff like that, that could still flare back up in this country. The reason nobody has it is because nobody has it, and that's how it actually works. You know, vaccines end up being protective, and they keep the spread of the virus down till basically it kind of goes away. So if you don't have that, if you don't have everybody being vaccinated, then you're just not going to ever have that sort of, it just goes away. And therefore, you can't have situations like measles, chickenpox, polio, and smallpox, because it's just not, it's not how it works. But so people are just making this giant leap, like, well, if people that are vaccinated can get, you know, COVID, especially the Omicron variant, then I'm just not going to bother getting vaccinated, which is completely fine. If you want to do that, like, do that. But don't make it because, don't make it sound scientific, like it doesn't do anything. Every single data point, research point, statistic, paper, study, every single one says the exact same thing, that the presence of the vaccine and the booster increases your ability to defend against this virus and statistically makes it much easier to overcome and makes it much less likely that you'll end up in the hospital or much less likely that you'll die. That's it. It's not a magic wand. It's not some weird futuristic shield from Guardians of the Galaxy. It doesn't do things like that. What it does is it protects you most of the time. And I'm trying to come up with a better analogy than to explain this to people, kind of. And the best I can kind of really think of, sort of off the top of my head, is like the use of like condoms and birth control, right? None of that stuff is 100% effective. Condoms just aren't 100% effective. They tell you right on the label. Does that mean you should just go out raw dogging it? Of course not. That's stupid. That's 100% likely that you're going to, you know, have an STD or knock somebody up and stuff like, and that's not the intended purpose. The purpose of having a condom is to make things much statistically safer for you and your partner. Like, that's how that works. If you don't want to get a vaccine, I mean, like, at this point, I'm fine with it, but I want you to understand that what you're basing it on is incorrect metaphors, analogies, and science. And it's really just that simple. Like, this is where, like, when I was talking about last week about people getting dumber because of not only intelligence and genetics bringing their intelligence down, but also the education system not doing their job. People don't understand how science works. Like, I mean, you guys must remember, like, when at the beginning of this, when the science was changing on a day-to-day basis from the CDC and guidance, and we can even talk about the guidance that just changed right now or recently and the pushback on that. So I don't know who in my listening audience remembers Pluto as a planet. I do. I still consider Pluto a planet. But I consider Pluto a planet because I'm emotionally attached to Pluto as a planet. Just them. About a decade ago, Neil deGrasse Tyson, in his wisdom, decided to kick Pluto out of the Planet Club. And as much as I wanted to kick him out of the Planet Club, the rationale he gave us makes a lot of sense. It's a planetel, right, or pseudo-planet, or wannabe planet, and there's lots and lots and lots of data and reasons to back that up. Emotionally, Pluto's a planet, so he's going to be a planet. Fuck you, Neil. And that's how we're going to do that. But scientifically, I get it. There's a lot of other planet-like objects like Pluto. There's Ceres. There's a couple other. There's even one floating around in the asteroid belt, which if you don't know where that is, like, please take a minute and look that up. You should know your place in the solar system. But for years, we had 9 planets. And if I wanted to take this whole, you know, story further, we didn't even have 9 planets because they didn't discover Pluto till whenever. They didn't discover Neptune and Uranus until later. Like, all the, like, we didn't have all those planets all the time, right? But now Pluto's not a planet. And the reason why Pluto is not considered a planet anymore is because the data has changed. right? We have science that's never absolute. I mean, I suppose there are some absolutes at this point, but like science, especially in theoretical science, things are changing. We're learning more and more about them. We learn more about stuff like tornadoes. We learn more about elements. You know that periodic table of the elements? Like, that wasn't always that big. You don't want to know why? Because we didn't always know about all those elements. Science is changing. And the ability to sort of change with science as data comes out and new reports come out and new studies come out, that's what science is. It's sort of how the scientific method works. I mean, the scientific method by itself is something else, right? That's, you know, observe, like hypothesize, test, conclude, all that other stuff. And I'm sure I got some of those things wrong. So feel free, if you're a big science nerd, to correct me on exactly what that is. I am not currently a scientist, but I do know how the scientific method works and definitely did it in school. But I also know how science works and science evolves. So the people that keep pushing back and like, dude, there are so goddamn many of them. Like, well, you know, see, scientists got it wrong. You know, they said they could do this and they said they could do this. Yeah, man, scientists thought the Earth was flat not all that long ago. And you want to push that into how other things change and evolve. Like, women were barely considered citizens not that long ago. And slaves were considered 3/5 of a person. And, oh, yeah, we also had slaves. So things kind of change in everything that we do. Everything that we do changes and evolves. Science is not immune to that. You can't say something like, black holes definitely exist and they look exactly like this when you've never seen it, been able to directly observe it, and all that other stuff. Like, you can't do that. What you do is you make an assertion and you make an assumption, and then there's a generally agreed upon theory. And those theories get to change over time, because if we hold on to those theories, we'd be sitting on a flat Earth right now. And as we all know, the only flat planet is Mars. And I cannot believe I wore my shirt today. How how fortuitous. I'm sorry, I'm checking in on the chat. Yes! Pluto is a planet. The chat agrees. The chat is correct. My point is, there's a lot of pushback on science. And I understand that it's frustrating. Nobody likes having the rules changed on them. But the reality is, we're in the middle of figuring this out. You could wait 10 years and then come out with science, but that's not going to help us now. So what we have now is guidance, and we have guidelines. And those things are really important. And I promise you one thing. If you are having trouble keeping up with the guidelines and the guidance of stuff that's going on around COVID, every single person that works at the CDC is smarter than you, and you should be listening to them. Every single one of them. Every single person that works on those things and puts forth this data is smarter than you are if you can't understand why these things change. So I would just urge you to listen to them and just get on with your day. Take advice. You take advice from dumb people all day long. Try taking advice from smart people. It might actually help you out. And in this case, it could actually save your life. We can decide whether saving that life is actually worth it in the long run of the evolution of our humanity, but I think that's probably another show. So, I didn't want to talk about any of that, but that's kind of how it goes here on the box, and of course in the top 20. I really wanted to talk about the Bimpy Awards, because I think it's just an awesome, awesome thing, so I guess I'll have to talk about this later on in the show. But I will start out just by saying that I had mentioned when they hit their one-year anniversary, Bacon is my podcast, of course, what I'm talking about. When they hit their one-year anniversary, I said what a big deal it is. Because most of these projects, I think we've all seen podcasts and video blogs and everyone. There are so many people I know that have started podcasts and blogs and, you know, radio shows and stuff like that. And they don't go very far. Like, a lot of people, like, have a couple ideas of what to talk about and they just run with that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because, you know, some of those are really good. And they're good ideas and they're good concepts and stuff. And I've listened to a whole bunch of these that just stopped producing. And that kind of happens. It takes a lot of work to come. And I know from personal experience, like right here, it takes a lot of work to come in and do something creative every single week. It takes a lot. especially if you don't have, like, a production team. It takes a little bit of magic. It takes a little bit of luck. It takes some dedication. It takes the willingness to do the work, even if things aren't necessarily going the way you want, or it's not coming out the way you want, or every single episode is not received well. I mean, like, dude, I've been going up and down in the Russian charts all month, and I don't understand what the hell is going on over there. I mean, I've been 11. I've been 184. I don't know. I cannot figure it out, but it really hasn't deterred me from keeping on doing the show. I mean, I'll keep doing the Hard Rock Lunchbox for as long as I like doing it and people enjoy listening to it. So for Bacon Is My Podcast to be able to push through their first year, I think it's really, really impressive. And I was saying as much at the time. And the simple fact that they went ahead and they did these Bimpy Awards, which is basically just an award celebration for performances and guests and, you know, seven questions and all that other stuff for guests that have been on the show, I think it's just fantastic. It elevates the brand. It gives them this point in space to kind of look forward to every year. Like, it's something like when I do like the best bands of the box in Thanksgiving and the best band best song of the year at the end of the year. Like, those are simple, silly things that just get to anchor your show on. And I think that is a real stamp of development for the dudes over Bacon's My Podcast. So I want to applaud them on a job well done. We can talk about my performance and my acceptance speech and Annie's attempt at an acceptance speech. I have to keep slanting. It's too funny. If you haven't watched it yet, I strongly urge you watch it. Maybe you should watch it even before we get to talk about, because it was such a classic Annie. I just thought it was funny. So there's that. But if you have not checked out the Bimpy Awards, I strongly recommend it. I really do. There's some great performances on it. There's some guests, guest announcers and stuff like that, a lot from the Bimp Squad. I guess those are the Patreon supporters of the Bimp Squad. I refer to them as Bimpos because I feel like that's more appropriate, but it's also probably more offensive, which is why I like it. I don't know. It's no Team Uppity. Actually, it's pretty much Team Uppity, so. I guess there's some crossover. So maybe we'll do a crossover episode. Maybe I'll have Mikey and Jimmy host the box, and then I'll just host an episode of Bacon's My Podcast. I'll bring Annie in. She can do acceptance speeches and all that other stuff. I feel like I've been talking too much. Does that surprise anybody? Yeah. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to get into more detail as we get along. But I got a bunch of new music for you today. I got some really just... It's going to be an eclectic sort of mix today, because I've got some stuff I want to play for you that, yeah, I think it's good. I don't necessarily know some of it fits. Some of it actually isn't good at all, but I want to talk about it, so I'm going to play it. And that's just kind of the mess we're in, and that's cool. But as long as you're all still here enjoying yourself and not yet quite sick of me... or my goddamn awesome segues. Be jealous. Be jealous.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
A little seether for you. Today is January 6th, 2022. Exactly a year ago today, a bunch of individuals stormed our Capitol building in a absolute demonstration of treason, in my opinion. They tried to overturn our democratically elected president and overturn our elections. I believe that is absolutely treason. And I've always been surprised that other people didn't think so. Like, people are comparing it to protests going on for civil rights over the summer. Yeah, there's some rioting and looting and stuff, and we tried to punish those individuals as much as possible. Kyle Rittenhour just... I even got to shoot some of them because that's how awesome he was, apparently. So, but I do want to point out that Politico actually had a really great article yesterday, if you're interested in reading it, because it highlights in what I consider to be the reason that we're having so much trouble in this country is because the Republican political machine, the face of the new Republican Party in the Trump era, is this. It's very simple. Here's the headline. They stormed the Capitol, now they're running for office. At least 57 individuals who played a role in the day's events, including some who were arrested on charges related to the Capitol attack, are running for office in 2022. And my friends, that tells you absolutely everything you need to know about the state of today's Republican Party, that sort of behavior is not only acceptable, but it's about to be rewarded. And that is something to be on the lookout for. And I have never been more afraid for the state of our union because it's in bad shape.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Little Marvin's asking an incredibly important and good question. I feel like I ask it most days. That's all right. That's okay. I've been super busy at work, but I'd be lying if I wasn't if I told you I was not keeping up with listening to all of my newfound wonderful stuff from the White Stripes. I've been delving as deep as I can into some of the Jack White offshoot projects, including even some of his side projects. I don't seem to like them as much as I like the White Stripes, and I have absolutely no idea why that is, but I'm going to enjoy it as it lasts for as long as I can, and then maybe I'll see about revisiting some of the other side projects and stuff, because I'm sure there's something there. I'm sure of it. I just think he's incredibly talented, and I'm now even more fascinated as to why I like the White Stripes so much more than anything else he does, but I don't know. My current favorite, this bad boy right here. It's a little ghost in the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, it's a little bit from Picturesque. Found that gem this week. It's called Do-Re-Mi. Feel free to check them out. I think they're out of Kentucky. Some good stuff in there. It's a good mix. I like it. I'm going to give them a few more listens over the coming weeks and see what's up. One of the local bands around here, Devoted Fusion, Sean, who is the singer, guitarist, and / manager, as per his signature, has sent me another song from their upcoming or possibly already out EP. The song is called Standardize. I figured we'd give it a whirl here on the box. Let me know what you think in the chat, 99WNRR.com, or you can get there from HardRockLunchbox.com and link your way over. We are live right now, so chats are welcome. Check it out. It's Devoted Fusion on the box.
mess with me. I'm one crazy mofo. I had to pop a cop because he wasn't giving my...
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
It's in Oaktown. No? I heard that somewhere.
That's something new from, or something new to you, from Magnolia Park, 10 for 10. Thanks for sending that one in. I like it. We're now approaching the part of the show where things are going to get a little weird. Not weird, but like maybe questionable. Because I'm going to be playing some songs, and I'll try and intersperse other songs. But I'm going to be playing some songs that I'm not entirely sure are good. Or I don't know that they belong on the box. Now, this first one is mainly being played right now because the name of the band is The Helicopters. Now, not helicopter spelled properly, Hella, H-E-L-L-A, copters. So, automatically, I'm listening. And it wasn't the greatest song, but it is Swedish heavy metal or hard rock or action rock or whatever the hell they called it. I don't even remember. And that got me interested again. And then I caught the name of the song. So the band is the Hella Copters. Swedish action metal. And then the name of the song, The Devil Stole the Beat from the Lord. And I think we all know, I have to play it now, right? That's what's happening next. It's the Helicopters on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
All right, now our next entry, our next contestant on Does It Belong on the Box or Not, is a band called Goodbye June, which I heard this morning. I was on the treadmill, and it came on. And I was like, that's so weird. I've never heard this AC/DC song before. And then I went and I looked and I was like, oh, that's because it's not AC/DC. Now, as somebody who has recently covered AC/DC and given proper credit where credit is due, I might add, it seemed sort of stunning to me to be such a blatant ripoff of not only one but two AC/DC songs. And making it their own. But I will say, I like AC/DC, so I decided I'd just keep listening to the rest of the song. But you can decide for yourself if there should be a copyright claim filed. I would argue yes. At the very least, some of those royalties need to be going down under, mate. But, yeah, here we are on the box. Up over, I suppose. Right? Up over? Down? Never mind. It's Goodbye June. See where the night goes. Sounding much like AC/DC on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Little flyleaf for you. Now, I've got my third and final installment of... Is it box? Can we do that? Is it box worthy? Is it box? Now, this one is different than the other two because... I'm not poking any fun at this one at all. I actually just really dug this. Like, dug it so much I listened to it like three or four times in a row. I don't know. I don't know who it sounds like. In my head, it feels like somewhere between Humphreys McGee and Fish. But I really just dug how funky it was. But also, the guitar solo at the end of this song is just friggin' dope as far as I'm concerned. So... I liked it. And I'm literally just playing it for you guys so you guys can hear that it exists and you can decide on your own if you're going to listen to it going forward. But I dug it. And the band is called Goose. And the song is called Arcadia. And let's get funky here on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
I have to say, if
Seriously?
I... Oh, yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there, Skater Kid. I have to say that if this show ever becomes really, really, really big and we have like like a web team, we are definitely going to be rotating through some of Q's incredibly good creations over the years. I do try and save a lot of them. Now I try and save like all of them. There is no way I'm not going to be using the Boxworthy one. I'm just putting, hold on, a couple. The countdown one was a good one. Putting that in the box chat right now. I mean, it's just over the years, Q was just hitting them out of the park, unlike anybody from the New York Mets. Ha! 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 As I mentioned in the top 20, I was talking about the Bimpy Awards. Bacon Is My Podcast decided to throw themselves an award show. Generally speaking, there's nothing sadder than throwing yourself your own party. But when it comes to award shows, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. It's a standard of elevation when you've reached something, when you've accomplished something worthy of celebrating. And I think that was completely appropriate and the right thing to do. And I actually think it's a really great episode. If you have not checked it out, be sure to hop up on Strangerhood TV and catch it. It's the last full episode. Patreon members got to see it early because they're special, and I'm air quoting special, but also mean special. But it's out for the rest of the peons on Monday, this past Monday, so it's out and live now. I recommend checking it out, not only for myself and my appearances on it. I actually won Best Seven Questions, the award, sorry, for Best Seven Questions, which technically would be the Best Seven Answers, but Best Seven Questions segment, and I totally understand that. And as I said in my acceptance speech, it is easily the most important award of all. And Annie, who I did not know at the time, had won for Best Guest. Annie won for Best Guest, and I did not mean to slam the Best Guest video. I would not, the award, I probably would not have slammed the Best Guest thing as much as I did if I knew that my friend Annie was going to win it. But because she won it, it got even funnier. So I'm glad I did that. I still think the Best Seven Questions is the most important award on there. That is probably going to change next year as I put my hat in the ring for Best Acceptance Speech of the Year award. I fully expect to win that one, and I am now currying your favor for your vote whenever that voting opens up for the 2022 Bimpy Awards, because I expect to win that bad boy so I can have another golden gnome here and balance things out, because currently I only have the one golden gnome, and honestly, it's just throwing off my entire feng shui of my studio, and that cannot be a thing. But as I said, I did win the award, so I went and picked it up, and I did my acceptance speech, and I sent that in. The boys over at BIMP also graciously asked me to do a live performance or record a live performance for them. They gave me pretty much no parameters. They were like, just do something, perform something, be something that we can video and add to the show, because as always, Mike and Jimmy always are gracious enough to include me in any of the projects they do, and I am forever grateful for that, and just and totally love to have that sort of opportunity. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was actually thinking about just doing like another cover, but then I just sort of was in a, let's say, lower state, and I decided that maybe a real heartfelt kind of version of Keep You Near would be more appropriate. Now, the reality is most songs that I write, I tend to write on acoustic by myself, just quietly. And so most songs have this sort of bass in the acoustic singer-songwriter realm. Keep You Near does not have that. The reason that Keep You Near does not have that sort of origin story is because when I was working on the pre-production for what would become Do No Harm, back when it was still called The Beauty in Everyday Spaces, we had a song on there called Clutch. Yeah, called Clutch. And upon submission, now, to be fair, when I sent in all seven songs, I expected our producer to pick three, and we were going to do a three-song EP, which is what I had wanted to do. He was like, he's like, these are all good, like, why don't we work on all of them? But then he said, except Clutch. Now, we did Clutch once or twice live, so if you heard it, you heard it. If not, you're not going to hear it again. But when I was working on a replacement for it because I didn't want to put out a six song because that would be another EP. I figured if we were going to go and do the work, we might as well put out an actual record. It was going to be, I expected it, I didn't know it at the time, but I did expect it to be the last actual Rebel 9 record, full record, because I don't expect to do another one of those again. But I decided that we really should have enough songs to be a full LP, so I was actually just working on something, and I just sort of hit that riff in the studio sitting in this very seat, and I was like, I like that riff, and I just sort of built on it and built on it and built on it, and within a couple of hours, I basically had the song. The lyrics just sort of just fell out of me because of the time that it was in the space that I was occupying. It was a very appropriate song for me to be writing, and that's why it wrote itself basically so easily. And I'm glad that it came out the way it did. I'm glad that it stayed pretty much true to it. I don't think I changed any lyrics once we went into production to actually sort of fix it. When I wrote it, was years ago at this point, but it was like all pre-production and stuff. So I just kind of wrote the song out and sent it in. I was like, what do you think about this one? And he was like, that's the song. And which that also has funny stories later on. But the point of this whole conversation is that it did not actually have this origin in this singer-songwriter sort of thing, but the content and the emotion of the song always was in my head, which is why after we released the record, I put out that sort of remix, that Into the Depths remix, because that was closer to what the song actually felt like to actually sing and perform and what it meant to me. But I had never actually recorded it, just me and an acoustic guitar. I've performed it for sure. And this was another performance, but I actually did an arrangement that I thought would make more sense and do the song some justice. And I was really, really, really happy to see how well received it was. And I'm glad because I think that song's important as a Rebel 9 song. I think that song's important for anybody that needs to feel those things and experience the less than loneliness of being in that space and knowing that other people have been there and the sort of camaraderie of just having music like that to sort of enhance your song and sonic landscape. I've always thought that music was important for those sort of things, and I am eternally grateful that I was able to put something out that people would respond to like that, because at the end of the day, the connection with music for me has always been the most important thing. Like, what does that bring up for you? What does that help you through? What does it navigate for you? All those things I find are important. So I was elated to see that it got the positive response it did. At some point, I'll probably just release the video standalone on the Rebel 9 page and then redirect everybody over to Pimpy, because it's always good to help promote that other stuff. But if it really is something that people want to hear, then I want to try and give them the opportunity to hear it. And that is true right now. So I grabbed the audio from that recording, and here it is from the Pimpy Awards of 2021, my live performance of Keep You Near.
Close, you have to let it go. These chains are meant to hold are far too much for these hands. The story's all been told. There's nothing left to understand but the very breath that steals us all. Face it, we've been told, pry it out of my hands, to witness and behold, to ever understand, don't hold on, don't get lost in the sound of the voices that keep you near, don't hold on, don't get caught in the sound of all that you've seen here. Leaving hurts the most, but it's the only way to go. To brace against the cold, to fall into these new hands, to never getting old, to never understand. Don't hold on, don't get lost in the sound of the voices that keep you near. Don't hold on, don't get caught in the sound of all that you've seen. Yeah. Don't hold on, don't get lost in the sound. The voices that keep you near. Don't hold on, don't get caught in the sound of all that you've seen. Don't hold on, don't get lost in the sound of the voices that keep you near. Hold on, don't get caught in the sound of all that you've seen.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in
Hard Rock Lunchbox.
With any luck, there's going to be a something heavy surprise in late winter, early spring. Wink, wink, wink. But right now, it's no surprise. It's brand new. It's Shell in the Box. We'll be right back.
Repeat back what I just said.
I am Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I am Groot.
Uh-huh.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
No! Does anybody have any tape out there? I want to put some tape over the death button.
I know what you're thinking. After winning the 2021 best song of the year here on the box. Why would Craving Strange even bother working on any new material? And that question is completely valid, because I don't know what the answer is to. I assume they would just get bored playing the same old songs over and over again. So I think I would expect, nay, expect, nay, demand, nay, expect, that there'll be some new Craving Strange music in our futures, because that's kind of what those guys do. I, for one, will be definitely looking forward to it. But fortunately, I have a year's worth of new Craving Strange to play every week on the weekly Craving of the Week with Craving Strange. It has been a hot goddamn minute since I played you guys Ashes, so that's my pick of the week this week, because I'm cool like that. Also, I'm in charge.
For what's happening after, I'm left here in the afterglow. While I'm stuck here keeping your secrets, dead leaves have the sins below. Well, can I be honest with you now? I don't believe it ever after, but there's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? Cause if you break me, I will shatter. And all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall down. I hope they're the last ones who ever have to be the ones to have it all. Now I know what you're after. There's no fear when the ceiling's low. The sunset on the words that'll keep you. There's new skin where the seeds have grown. Can I be honest with you now? I don't believe in ever after, but there's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? Cause if you break me, I will shatter. And all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall down. I hope they're the last ones who ever have to be the ones to have it all. There's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? Cause if you break me, I will shatter. And all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall. Hope they're the last ones who ever have to be the ones to have it all torn down over and over. God,
When is it over?
Yeah, man, we're at the end of another Hard Rock Lunchbox, and as great as that is for some of you, it's equally great for me, I assure you, because I really have to pee, and isn't that what this is all about anyway? Of course not. I want to wish everybody a very happy new year. Thank you for coming back and starting a new year here at the Hard Rock Lunchbox every Thursday from noon to 2, only on 99WNRR.com. You can, of course, get there and all the archives on HardRockLunchbox.com. As I was watching The Nightmare Before Christmas with my daughter, because she's a mental patient and likes to watch that movie all the time, as are all mental patients that like to watch that movie all the time, zero judgment whatsoever, I realized that I didn't play basically my favorite Christmas song this year, because I was so tied up with the countdown, and the show before that was just a mess, because your host is a mess, and I'm going to make up for that right now. I'm going to send you on your way with something great, something wonderful, something we might even see tomorrow. Check your forecast. Stay safe. Don't pull that shit they tried in D.C. on the I-95. Don't do any of that stuff. Stay warm. Stay safe. Bring more than an orange and a Dr. Pepper. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll mention it next week on The Box when we do it all again. See you next Thursday.
Hard Rock Lunchbox.